A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said, "How great an outcry there is against Sodom and Gomorrah. How grievous is their sin. I propose to go down and see whether or not they have done all that is alleged in the outcry against them that has come up to me. I am determined to know." The men left there and went to Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Approaching him, he said, "Are you really going to destroy the just man with the sinner? Perhaps there are 50 just men in the town. Will you really overwhelm them? Will you not spare the place for the 50 men, just men in it? Do not think of doing such a thing, to kill the just man with the sinner, treating just and sinner alike. Do not think of it. Will the judge of the whole earth not administer justice?" The Lord replied, "If at Sodom I find 50 just men in the town, I will spare the whole place because of them." Abraham replied, "I am bold indeed to speak like this to my Lord, I who am dust and ashes. But perhaps the 50 just men lack 5. Will you destroy the whole city for 5? "No," he replied, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 just men there." Again, Abraham said to him, "Perhaps there will only be 40 there." "I will not do it," he replied, "for the sake of 40. Abraham said, "I trust my Lord will not be angry, but give me leave to speak. Perhaps there will only be 30 there." "I will not do it," he replied, "if I find 30 there." He said, "I am bold indeed to speak like this, but perhaps there will only be 20 there." "I will not destroy it," he replied, "for the sake of 20. He said, "I trust my Lord will not be angry if I speak once more. Perhaps there will only be 10. "I will not destroy it," he replied, "for the sake of 10. The word of the Lord.
On the day I called, you answered me, O Lord. On the day I called, you answered me, O Lord. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. You have heard the words of my mouth. Before the angels I will bless you. I will adore before your holy temple. On the day I called, you answered me, O Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness and love, which excel all we ever knew of you. On the day I called, you answered. You increased the strength of my soul. On the day I called, you answered me, O Lord. The Lord is high, yet he looks on the lowly, and the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of affliction, you give me life and frustrate my foes. On the day I called, you answered me, O Lord. You stretch out your hand and save me. Your hand will do all things for me. Your love, O Lord, is eternal. Discard not the work of your hands. On the day I called, you answered me, O Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. You have been buried with Christ when you were baptized, and by baptism too, you have been raised up with him through your belief in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. You were dead because you were sinners and had not been circumcised. He has brought you to life with him. He has forgiven us all our sins. He has overridden the law and cancelled every record of the debt that we had to pay. He has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, And when he had finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, Say this when you pray. Father, may your name be held holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us. And do not put us to the test. He also said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him in the middle of the night to say, My friend, lend me 3 loaves because a friend of mine on his travels has just arrived at my house and I have nothing to offer him. And the man answers from inside the house, Do not bother me. The door is bolted now, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give it to you. I tell you, if the man does not get up and give it to him, for friendship's sake, persistence will be enough to make him get up and give his friend all he wants. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For the one who asks always receives. The one who searches always finds. The one who knocks will always have the door opened to him. What father among you would hand his son a stone when he asked for bread? Or hand him a snake instead of a fish? Or hand him a scorpion if he asked for an egg? If you then, who are evil, know how to give your children what is good, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. Father Anthony says, I've got to be short. But given it's the last one before my holidays, I said, no, I'm going to be long. It's a mystery, isn't it? How do you pray? Seems like a simple question. We're encouraged always to pray with hope, persistence, and believing that it is something that we will be given for praying. Time to give to prayer means that we will get something out of prayer. St. Ignatius speaks of the effect of prayer and says it increases in faith, hope, and love what we are. We may not get the specific intention which we're praying for, but we will always get the Holy Spirit. He also said, I've never left a prayer room poorer than when I went in. Knock and the door will be opened. It is the knocking itself that gives us something. The first gift of prayer is God's love. Prayer increases our trust in God, as Father Anthony said at the beginning. He wants us to pray for our good, to obtain love. So we pray for what we need, and then leave the prayer with God to be answered as only he can. I'm sure we've all seen the pictures of Jesus kneeling with sweat running down his face, a bit like mine today. Okay, and that intensity on his face as he looks up to talk to his Father. Can you all see it in the mind, that picture that we always see? And he's praying and actually expecting an answer. How do we pray? Do we expect an answer every time? So when he went back to his disciples, they said, "We want some of that intensity that he showed when he prayed." A priest one day was taken aback when a long-standing member of his community came up and said, "I really enjoyed your sermon about praying. The only thing I find is that I don't think I know how to pray." So, is it a problem? A bit later on, a few weeks later, the priest was again taken aback when his lowly deacon said to him, after a meeting about the importance of prayer, "You are assuming that all the clergy know how to pray. But we don't." There was a teacher in a primary school who was asking the class various questions, and they're only 6 or 7 years old. And she said to the class, "How do we pray?" And this little girl who was sat in the corner doodling put her hand up and says, I know, miss." So she said, "Yes, what's the answer?" And the little girl said, "You just open your mouth and talk." But she's right. Prayer is nothing more than a conversation with God. And a simple answer that came out of a child was true. You just open your mouth and talk. But in giving this answer, I think that I've let a lot of people down when I've said that to them in the past. Maybe it's because the question is wrong. It's not how do we pray, it's how do we trust God. How do I get into a deeper relationship with God? It's about trust. The child's answer was right, and Jesus responds in a very childlike manner when he speaks to his disciples. Children inherently know how to trust parents. So it's not surprising that Jesus' answer was that of a little child. So he says, when you pray, say, "Dad, let your name be holy. Send us your kingdom. Give us food every day and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And please do not put us to the test." So let's unpack that a little bit. Send us your kingdom. Every child trusts that their parents will give them a stable home. Give us food every day. Every child trusts that their parents will feed them. Forgive us our sins. Every child trusts that no matter how badly they mess up in life, in what they do, their parents will always forgive them. Do not bring us to a time of trial or test. For every child fears having their love being put to the test. So how do we pray? How do we trust God? Jesus' answer is very simple. Just try it. And you won't be disappointed. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and that door will be opened. And he promises that as an incentive to give it a try. Trust is an act of courage. Faith is an act of courage. We don't know how it will turn out. We aren't in control of the results. Trusting someone else means we are not in control. We are not the shapers of our own destiny. The world isn't ours to conquer. Our lives are not our own. Our lives were purchased by God's Son. We're all called God's precious children. True prayer does not allow us to take that fact lightly. So Jesus urges us to take a few steps back in our maturity and do what children do well. Trust our Heavenly Dad.